Hello and welcome to CNN 10. It is Wednesday, November 20th, hump day. I know we may have been through a lot already, but we're going to make it through. Let's get going. We have lots to get to, and we are going to start with news out of New Zealand, where more than 40,000 people marched outside Parliament in the city of Wellington in protest. They're protesting a bill called the Treaty Principles Bill. Critics say the bill could change an agreement made in the year 1840 between British colonizers and hundreds of native Maori tribes. That treaty established that the country would be co-governed by indigenous and non-indigenous New Zealanders. The Maori are New Zealand's indigenous community, and they believe the new bill that lawmakers are proposing could diminish their rights. Outside Parliament, those opposed to the bill came together for a traditional peaceful Maori walk, waving flags and signs. Inside Parliament last week, Maori lawmakers staged a haka, a traditional chanting dance, to disrupt voting. Protests have been going on for about 10 days across the country, and they are some of the largest the country has seen in decades. Most lawmakers have said they would not vote for the new legislation, but its introduction has reignited a debate on indigenous rights, this time with a more conservative government than the country has seen in years. We just passed the 1,000th day of the war between Ukraine and Russia, which began on February 24th, 2022. That's when Russia launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine. The grim milestone in the conflict comes just days after President Joe Biden authorized Ukraine to use U.S.-made long-range missiles. These weapons, called ATACMS missiles, have the capacity to reach targets deep inside Russia, which is a major new escalation in the conflict. CNN takes a look back at what's transpired in the last 2.5 years.
Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine has now lasted for over 1,000 days, and it has quite literally altered the country's landscape. While Ukraine has recaptured around half the territory Russia took in 2022, Russia still holds more than 20% of Ukraine, including many cities and towns that were shattered by Russian firepower. This map shows some of the cities that have been leveled by Russia's grinding war of attrition. And before and after images show just how destructive Russian President Vladimir Putin's campaign has been. Mariupol, a coastal city on the Azov Sea, was one of the first objectives for Russian forces looking to establish a land bridge between the occupied regions of the Donbas and the Crimean Peninsula, annexed in 2014. After a nearly 3-month siege, the city and its sprawling Azovstal steelworks fell to the Russians. Since its capture, the Russian government has tried to showcase its partial reconstruction. Ukrainian officials believe that more than 20,000 civilians died during the siege. In May last year, Russian forces claimed control of the eastern city of Bakhmut after more than 200 days of fighting. Once celebrated for its sparkling wine, stored in a massive underground complex, and its salt export, Bakhmut became synonymous with the horrific number of lives the Russians were willing to expend to capture this symbolic prize. The fighting has also turned smaller cities into abandoned ghost towns, such as Mariinka and Volchansk. Putin justified the full-scale invasion of Ukraine by saying he intended to protect the largely Russian-speaking population in the country's east. But in effect, his so-called special military operation has nearly erased many of these cities from the map.
10-second trivia. How much food do Americans waste each year? 1 billion tons, 40 to 80 million tons, 500,000 pounds, or 230 million pounds? Answer is 40 to 80 million tons of waste each year. That's an estimated 30 to 40% of the entire U.S. food supply. Many of us may feel somewhat contrite to know that works out to about 219 pounds of food waste per person. I got a quick bonus pop quiz for you. What percentage of clothes are recycled into new clothes? 1%, 10%, 20%, or 30%? Answer is, only about 1% of used clothes are recycled into new ones. Well, two brothers who grew up on the Isle of Wight off the southern coast of England are trying to change that through their t-shirt printing business called T-Mill. The company only makes a clothing item once it's ordered, and once that item is worn out, it can be sent back to be reused for something new, creating less waste and saving money. Check out how these creative entrepreneurs are making it work.
Us growing up on our island, everything is finite, including resources. and you're very conscientious of what that means both for you and also, you know, the natural environment that you're surrounded by. I think that's a very helpful frame of mind to approach sustainable business. If you just expand that out, just think about the fact that the entire planet is basically just an island. The clothing industry is a massive industry. Like, everybody on earth has lots of these products. But everything's produced speculatively, and everything's produced en masse. But something like half of all of the clothes that are made are actually fully utilized. That's like a fancy way of saying that they're made but never worn. Being from the Isle of Wight, we have naivety as a superpower, because you sort of say, well, why would you do that? Why don't you just make what people need when you need it? And we're like, yeah, we're gonna redesign the clothing industry. And you can actually do that just with technology, like making new types of machines and new software that runs those machines so that you make things on demand. You can come through, dude. You're doing work, I'm just talking. In the sky, in the cloud, are all the orders that have just been placed in the last couple of seconds. There's factories like this all around the world. And so the first step is that orders are sent across borders as data. Massively cuts out travel carbon. And Max just scanned the barcode and the computer said, you should go get this large tea from 7WB11 and chuck it on C1. So let's go do that. And we put it on the track, that's it. But from order to shipping, you're looking at a couple minutes. Really simple, but it's meant to be simple because that means it can scale. Crazy thing about the traditional model is they would have produced tens of thousands of those products speculatively in the hope that someone would have ordered it. Here, it's already been sold. We did it in our mum and dad's shed to start with. We had 200 quid. That forced us to be very efficient and not waste anything. We can afford to. That unlocks some really big opportunities because you just save money. You save loads of waste, you save loads of money. We invest that money here over in organic cotton. And then the second thing that we do is we use that money to fund our circular program. Now we have something like, I think, 10,000 brands and businesses that produce their products in this way. And now increasingly what we're doing is it's sharing with the industry. Because it's cheaper and because it's more efficient, you can actually get people over the line who previously perhaps wouldn't be your typical sustainable pioneers. And so that's what's exciting.
We're going to Tacoma, Washington for today's story, getting a 10 out of 10. Pure pandemonium, a pesky puny pig, putting police into a painstaking pickle, parading them past people's properties in a precarious, fast-paced chase that was properly problematic. Seeing as Maya Blackstone tells us more.
Oh, he's so sweet. Welcome to the east side.
7-3, the pig is being non-compliant.
Police in Washington State responded to reports of a pig running loose through a residential neighborhood. Tacoma police nicknamed the quote-unquote suspect Notorious P.I.G.
No, come here. No!
Police thanked the department's animal control unit, who helped the pig find a cozy home at a local ranch.
That pig had the zuzus. Before I run up out of here today, I have two shout-outs. First, they are mean, they are green, they're the gobblers in Mrs. Stryber's class at Cuero Junior High in Cuero, Texas. You are today's Your Word Wednesday winner for contrite, feeling or showing sorrow and remorse for improper or objectionable behavior. Thanks for boosting our vocabulary today. And our special shout-out goes to Mrs. Sturgis's U.S. History class at Borman High School in Borman, Ohio. Go Spartans! Thanks to all of you for spending part of your day with me. Rise up. I'll see you right back here tomorrow on CNN 10.